Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This is your aunt. Your father passed away. She obviously loves you and loved him. She put forth all this money. She waited 3 months. Why are we here?
This is the plaintiff, Carmen Pantoja. She says her niece, the defendant, owes her for funeral costs she laid out for her brother's funeral. The woman promised her up and down she'd pay her back, but 3 months have gone by and nothing. She knows this is a delicate family situation, but she needs her $438.41, and she needs the judge's help to get it. This is the defendant, Maritza Valentin. She says, as a family member of the plaintiff's, she's extremely hurt by her actions. She didn't take a penny of her money, and they never made an agreement about funeral costs. For crying out loud, this is her father they're talking about, the plaintiff's own brother, and she's shaming the family with this frivolous and petty lawsuit. She's accused of fouling up her funeral.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with a case pending in civil court. Both parties have agreed to drop their claims and have their cases settled here before Judge Marilyn Million in our forum, the People's Court.
Be seated and come to order, please. Litigants have been sworn, Your Honor.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Okay, Carmen Pantoja,
yes.
You are suing Maritza Valentin, your niece, for $438.41 that you say she owes you for the funeral costs of your brother.
Yes.
Tell me what happened.
My brother passed away January 15th of 2015.
That's your father, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
We flew out to Puerto Rico January 17th. We went to the funeral home.
And was he living there at the time?
Yes, he was living in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And so we made an agreement that there were some payments that needed to be made in order to finalize the funeral. And so that also so that she can retrieve the death certificate in time. So when we get back to New York, she can be able to go to court and take the proper steps to get a hold of the money that was left in his bank account around the time that he was deceased.
Okay, did anybody at this point know how much money was left in the bank account?
Nothing. No, we didn't know at that point, but we found out later after when we got back to New York.
And how much was left in the bank account?
About $800.
Okay, so what happened?
So basically, we was at the funeral. A couple of payments were made amongst the family members.
Like
ranging
kind of
around
past a collection plate? At right there, you mean?
Well, the immediate brothers and myself and my mother, we all chipped in and put something in. Okay. I also set it up a GoFundMe page for my brother. So I set it up and I, you know, basically wrote a little paragraph stating that he passed away and we needed some funeral funds, donations from family or friends who wanted to donate, you know, whatever amount they want, $5, $10.
PayPal or use their credit card?
Yeah,
or
the money, once I asked for the money to be deposited, it was deposited into my bank account. Now, okay. The thing is that when we was at the funeral, those funds weren't deposited into my bank account at the time. So I had to put it in from my own money.
Okay, so how much did you put in?
I put in $438.41.
Did you get that from GoFundMe?
No, that was my personal money to finalize the
Okay, what did you get from GoFundMe and where did it go?
They gave me $351.59.
Where did that money go?
To my bank account.
And what did you do with it?
I put it towards a funeral.
So after everybody put in their money at the funeral home, mm-hmm. there was a payment that was left over.
Of $790.
And you offered to pay the $790.
Right.
On your credit card.
My debit.
On your debit card.
Yes.
Under the theory that what?
That when she gets a hold of the money, the money that was in his bank account, she will pay me back the portion that I paid okay. to finalize the funeral.
All right.
Cremation.
But then after that, you get the 300 and something from GoFundMe, which explains why you're only suing for $438.41.
Right.
All right. Now, when you get back to New York, what happens?
So I basically didn't bother her for almost 3 months because she's my niece. I know she's mourning. The whole family was still mourning. We still are.
Was he sick? Was it sudden?
He passed away from several things. One of them was suicide attempt. He had sepsis. He had pneumonia. And basically, like, lung failure and all of that, you know? So... But it was a cocktail of pills that he took, so that led to his death. So we got to New York and I didn't want to bother her. I finally reached out to her maybe like 3 weeks ago, a month ago, and I told her, you know, let's do what we have to do. And she mentioned to me that she needed $120 extra to translate the death certificate into English.
Because the death certificate was in Spanish?
Yes.
And how did you find out that you needed it to be...
I went to the court myself and tried to do the whole process myself and pay off the, you know, everything. And
pay off everything as in what? What do you mean by pay off everything?
Basically try to get access to his account, basically.
In order to do what with it?
In order to give her back the money.
When she puts $800 on her credit card, is the plan that, in fact, if he has money, it will, you know, the first thing that'll happen is that it goes to reimburse her?
Yeah, but when she did do that, she told us, don't worry about it. I have it. And she told us, like, basically, she can't even make that money in one day. She said it. Just
Wait,
like that.
So how can... Okay, but hold on.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you whether the plan was to pay her back, and you said yes, but she said don't worry, and she makes a lot of money? What does that mean?
No,
either you have an obligation to pay it back or you don't.
From the beginning, we never really had, like, much of an agreement. We did try to get the money.
You just said that, yes, we were supposed to get to the bank account.
We were trying to get the money to his account
to get the money to pay her back. To pay the debts. What debts? Well, like pay her back. Okay. So now you guys get to New York and then you finally get access to the account. How?
Well, I did go to the courthouse and I told them basically I needed access to the account. Oh. And they told me I needed $120 to translate the paper into English.
And did you have the $120?
No.
Did you ask her for it?
No.
Did you mention it to her?
I mean, I mentioned it to her, but...
And did she offer to cover that too and then you pay her back?
She offered to cover it and I told her I didn't want her to cover it.
What difference does it make? Once you go into the bank account, you're going to pay her back like in the same 24 hours. So what difference would it make?
Well, I didn't want to keep her giving her, letting her pay everything off.
So, if it's, if you're like, well, I wanted to wait until I could pay the $120, that's very nice, except for that in the meantime, she doesn't get her $400 and something. Mm-hmm. So if you just let her do what she offered, which is add the $120 to the tab, then you could go into the account, pay her off, and then keep whatever's left. I don't understand why you wouldn't do that. There had to be a reason. What was the real reason?
I mean, I didn't want to touch that money from the beginning,
Okay, have you since taken the money out?
No, I have nothing to do with it. My grandma's the one that has the bank card with her.
Is your grandmother taking all the money out?
No, nobody has touched it yet. Nobody has touched it at all yet.
Okay, why are we here? This is your aunt. Your father passed away. She obviously loves you and loved him. She put forth all this money. She waited 3 months. Why are we here? I don't get it. You have them. All you have to do is take up her offer to have her pay for the translation and take care of business. So what happened? What did she say or do that clicked something in your head that made you feel like, no, I'm not doing it?
Well, she did call my manager and told her about the situation. And she threatened me, basically telling me she's going to take me to court.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen until there's 1,000 other attempts to get you to just do what you have to do. Because clearly, by reading the text, show me those texts. You know the text that you sent, right? Back and forth. Show me the text, please.
I have it.
Hold on. Give it to my bailiff.
Just stay right there. All right. Just step right back for me, please.
Let me see both. That way I can see if anybody deleted
it. I'm turning my phone on. It was off.
Got it. So you say... Let's go next Wednesday. We'll do whatever we need to do. And then I'm cutting you loose. Blood is thicker than water, and I'm going through a tough time already, and that you should be at least considerate. But like I said, we'll get this done next Wednesday, and that's it. And she mentions to you, look, I've been considerate for 3 months, Steffi, but okay, we'll go Wednesday. I'll have the 120 with me to translate it. Okay, fine, you say. If you're considerate, you wouldn't have called my job, taking it to the next level. Why did you call her job?
She mentioned to me several times that she was unable to take a day off during the weekday because she has a certain certificate that she needs to go to work Monday through Friday, and her only day off was on Saturday. And from what she told me, on Saturday, we can't do the paperwork in the court. We have to go Monday through Friday. So that day that I got in contact with her was a Wednesday. So when I called her job was to explain to the manager the situation that her father passed away, and if it's possible that they can give her a day off during the weekday so that we can finish, you know, taking care of this matter. And the manager tells me, well, she's off today. And I'm thinking, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. Why didn't she call me at 7 a.m. and said, hey, aunt, let's go to court and do what we have to do?
This is so we have a text where it's, we're taking off next Wednesday. That's it. I'm cutting you off after that.
Right.
You explain, look, I just want to make sure they're considering the fact that your dad passed away and there's some things needed to be taken care
exactly.
of. I'm not going back and forth with you anymore on this. Just call me Tuesday. We'll get together Wednesday. I'll see you then. And you text back. You know what? I changed my mind. You want to threaten about taking me to court? Go ahead. You have no proof. And if you come to my job, I'm putting an order of protection against you. Douglas, when someone says you have no proof, what goes through your mind?
Depends on who I am, but that is a ton of proof.
That's just the very saying of it. The very saying, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, you have no proof, shows me what the deal was. I don't understand you. Why are you willing, you know, maybe in your mind, you think, oh, she's putting money before our relationship. But I have to tell you, from the outside looking in, it looks like you're putting money before the relationship. Or it's not even money because you haven't even accessed the account. I'm not sure what you're doing.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Harvey Levin here. Okay, this is a tough question. What's the protocol when somebody dies and there's no surviving spouse? Who pays? I mean, if there are like three siblings, are they all legally required to pay a third, or is there no protocol?
I think that is it's a good question. I think that each sibling should pay one third, I think.
And if they don't, can you sue them for their third?
I think that's the right protocol.
What do you think?
Honestly, I don't think there is a protocol. I think it's just voluntary.
So if you're a good guy, you pay, and if you don't, nobody can do anything to you?
I believe that if there's no spouse, then you should go to the children, and every child should have to pay an equal share.
Okay, fair enough. Going inside the courtroom.
I don't know why you think it's so unreasonable that she want to get reimbursed like the plan was. It's obviously
and
the plan.
She also mentioned
based on
to
your
me,
text. I just don't get it. There has to be a reason. What is the reason? Am I missing something?
Well, I just didn't want to make her put in the 120. You know, she's already putting enough money, and I felt bad. Even if it takes a couple of months.
So is it that there's no agreement and she needs to get paid, or you feel bad because she paid so much and I want to get...
No, from the beginning, there was
never
an agreement.
You know what, Maritza, I've tried to make sense of you, but I can't. So I got to tell you something. Life is short. It's short.
Thank you.
How old are you?
20.
Oh, you're so young. Have you in the past, you kind of look like, have you in the past had a good relationship with your aunt?
Yes.
Always?
Always.
Do you want to continue to have a good relationship with your aunt, or you really want to cut her off over something where I am telling you you're 100% dead wrong? Let it gel, let it soak in, let it marinate in your head. Think about it for a few weeks. But I am telling you, not just legally speaking, I think morally speaking, you're also wrong. She was trying to make it easier for you, and you were trying to make it hard for her. You're not right. I don't know who in your family is telling you you're right. You're not right. Okay? But I just don't get how you can write off someone who you've always had a good relationship with over this. Maybe you're shocked that she took you to court. But when do your... Maybe she's shocked that you're treating her like this. When are your actions the reason for the breakup between you two? When is it not her? When is it you? You know? You've already lost a father. You want to lose your aunt? My verdict in this case is for the plaintiff in the amount of the $438.41. Get this taken care of, okay? We're gonna make a plan now with Officer McIntosh when you folks go back there. Good luck.
With that, the defendant comes out here, stand right next to me, tell me what's going through your mind. You just heard the judge pouring out her heart to you.
Well, nothing is going through my mind. I just know what's gonna happen and I know what I need to get done, that's it.
Share that with us. What?
I just know who's family and who's not, and that's it. If real family women wouldn't, you know, send you to court over something so small. Mm-hmm.
What's more important, the money or the relationship with your aunt and the rest of you?
Well, family is obviously more important, but in this case, I don't feel like it is. So, because I wouldn't be here, you know?
Mm-hmm. You want to stand your ground like that?
Yes.
You think that's the right thing for you to do?
Yes.
All right, right around the corner this way. All right, so step on out here. All right, you're standing right there. You're listening to her saying that.
Listen, you know, she's 20 years old. She's going to do what she wants to do in her mind. Maybe she's acting a little naive. I have no hard feelings against her, you know? I love her to death. She's my niece.
You wouldn't give up on her, right?
I love her. She's my niece. I would never give up on her. I didn't give up on her dad. So rest in peace, Jay. I love you.
Harvey.
Okay, just a word to the wise. When there is a death, you have to be especially clear with relatives on what each obligation is for each relative. And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Whether it's routine maintenance, an emergency repair, or a dream project, Angie lets you compare quotes from multiple local pros, browse homeowner reviews, and even book a service instantly. Angie's been connecting people with skilled pros for nearly 30 years. So the next time you have a home project, bring it to Angie to get your job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the plaintiff, Lori Teigen. She says she hired the defendant to build them a patio with her 120-year-old farmhouse. Well, the guy did the job 2 years ago, and she's been calling him for 2 years because the drainage on the patio was done wrong, and the thing floods. The aggressive guy needs to be taught a big lesson on work ethics because she paid the guy over $30,000 for the job, and she wants it fixed, and she wants it fixed now. She's suing for $2,000, the cost to fix her patio. This is the defendant, Patrick O'Connell. He says the plaintiff used salt on the stones during the winter, and that caused them to crack. He's been out to her house numerous times, and other than the cracking, things look fine with the drainage. The plaintiff's impossible to deal with. She's had numerous run-ins with other contractors, and he stands by his work. He's accused of stoning a customer.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case in the docket, the plaintiff hired the defendant to build a patio. It has been 2 years. It is still not right. But the defendant says the plaintiff used salt in the stones, so he caused the damage. It's the case of you got big stones to sue me.
Lori Teigen, you are suing Patrick O'Connell and Patrick O'Connell LLC, represented here by, don't tell me, Patrick O'Connell.
Yes.
For $2,000, an estimate to fix a bluestone patio and walkway that he originally installed and that now needs fixing again.
Yes.
Tell me what happened.
We hired him back in May of 2013 to relay stone that was already part of the house to do a number of walkways and also a patio. You know, when he came out, his bid was actually the highest out of all three that we got by over $6,000. But because of his masonry skills and the work that he claimed and the experience he had with bluestone, we decided to go with him. He was very rarely on site for the job. He had his workers there, and you know, we were pleased with the job when it was done. But then after just a couple of months, we started to see, you know, severe issues with the job.
After a few months, you saw what?
I have pictures to show you, but there was excessive pooling of water in areas that he was supposed to grade. He added a drain in an area that gets no water and no drain that gets filled with water that actually makes the walkway unusable. Anytime it rains or all winter, it gets covered in ice.
How did people decide where to put the drain?
He decided. He graded the property. He put a drain in. And what's funny is we actually just found out yesterday when we got another bid that the drain, according to our contract, was supposed to go under the front yard into the driveway. And it actually, the one he put in doesn't even do that. It goes under the ground to our backyard and just ends in a landscape bed.
Okay. Let me see the pictures. This was a pretty big job, right?
It was over $30,000 that we paid him. The pictures I have here not only show the pooling of water, but also 20 to 30 stones are loose. When you step on them, they wiggle, and as a result, some of them have cracked. And then others along the whole walkway, there was supposed to be 4 inches of concrete. And as you can see here, even the ones that are laid in concrete are falling off.
Let me hear from you.
All right, we started a job for them back in May of 2012.
And tell me about the experience that you told them about with Bluestone.
Well, I do have 22 years of masonry hardscape construction experience.
Okay.
And they want me to use all this old Bluestone that was from the house. It's a small horse farm. And, it was all dry laid maybe 20, 30 years before that. And... they wanted to save money. Some of the work we set
true.
In concrete.
But I don't understand what you're saying, because if you have 27 years and...
21 years
experience, and there was stone that shouldn't be used, then one expects you to say, I can't use that stone.
Well, no, I never said it couldn't be used.
Right, so then how could she? So when you're saying, they wanted to save money, so they were using stone. I mean, stone is old.
No.
I don't know what the premise is. It's not like broccoli that gets old and you have to throw out. It's stone. God made it millions of years. I mean, it's supposed to be old, right?
No, it was dry laid. There's a difference between laying it dry and setting it concrete. Yes, it is.
Then why'd you use it?
Because they wanted to save money.
Okay. Now, do you have a contract with them where it says that you warned them this may crack, it's a problem?
No.
Did you ever say that to them before you used it?
Well, how would I know if there was a problem?
Well, then how would they know if there was a problem? Like, in other words, it has nothing to do with them saying, I want to use this stone here to save money. What's wrong with that?
We did what they wanted us to do.
Why did it turn out to be a problem? There's a drainage issue that I'm looking at in the pictures. Do you want to see it, or you've seen it?
I've seen it. Okay. I've been back there twice, which they've said I've never been back there.
Okay.
I was back there twice.
So they called you to repair it?
Yeah, many times.
Did you ever go out there and repair it?
Yes.
Okay. When did you go out? You say he never went out there
and repair
it.
He never went out to repair it.
Yeah. Take a look.
Okay.
When did you go out there and repair it?
We had been back there that year.
Can I see, some proof that you went out there to repair? Because she's denying that ever happened.
Well,
take a look at those
two. I had
two
statements all ready to go, but I couldn't get them notarized from my employees.
Do you have the statements without being notarized?
No, because they...
You don't have anything?
No.
Who are these guys?
Beg pardon?
Subcontractors or
No, they work for me. They do.
So why don't you just have them here?
Because they're all working.
Oh, okay. You pick your poison. That's fine.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. If you'd rather have them working, and that's a business call on your part, rather than testifying to the court of what they did or didn't do or whether they were out there. And if somehow you can't get your act together to have an actual affidavit for court or even just a letter from any of these people who work for you, then what do you expect me to do when I'm faced with this? I'm looking at these pictures. Look at the pictures I just handed up there. Mm-hmm. Where the stone is cracked.
I
haven't finished. Where stone is literally lifted up because it's not really embedded in the cement. And what she's asking, actually, you were suing for $3,000 and now you lowered it to $2,000. Your estimate says $1,800 to $2,000, which I don't get because that's the point of an estimate, is to be specific.
Well, we originally got an estimate for $3,000. When we knew we were coming here, we wanted to get another one, and that estimate came in between $1,800 and $2,000. So we decided to do the right thing and to go with the lower estimate.
What I don't get, though, is why doesn't that person just quote an amount? That's kind of the idea behind estimating.
Right. He said the reason that there's going to be a difference is because sometimes when you start to take stones up, you have to add additional stones in there, and he doesn't know until he does it. So we're even fine with the $1,800. We just, if we can get the majority of this paid for, that's what we're looking for.
So does the guy who installs the stones have a duty to tell the customer, hey, dude, this is going to crack?
I think with anything, you have an obligation to disclose important information about the product that you're installing, especially if you have knowledge of it. I mean, the customer doesn't have background in it.
Customer doesn't have background, but at the same time, the guy's kind of a hired gun, right? What do you think?
I agree with him, like the person who's installing should be able to tell everything.
You agree with him because you're wearing the same shirt.
I got it.
Okay, going inside the courtroom.
Are you able to prove by any means at all, whether it's text, emails, letters, receipts, witness statements, anything, that you went and responded to the, because according to you, you would call and what would happen?
I have everything on text, actually. Way back from the first text that I have with him. When eventually he said he would come over, and I said to him, please let me know what time you'll be there and we'll be happy to meet you. The next day he sent me a text, I was at your house and I fixed the problem. So I texted him back and said, why didn't you tell me you were coming, first of all, but second of all, nothing is fixed, and if I wasn't there, how could I even show you what the problem was? And then months went by, he said, oh, it's winter, I can't come out now, I'll come out in the spring. In the spring, it wasn't thawed yet, so there were always excuses. And then he said, I texted him again, and he said, I'll come out tomorrow. I said, okay, let me know what time. Again, he didn't let me know what time he would be there, and again, he said he came and there was no problem. But we actually live in sort of a remote area, and we have cameras at our house, and I checked the cameras, and there's no record at all of his truck even being there. So
that's a lie.
What say you to that?
I say it's an outright lie.
When you went there, since there was a problem, why wouldn't you call her so that
because
she could
I didn't know if we were really going there that day. You know, I mean, I'm getting texts in the middle of the winter to come and fix the patio, to take a look at it, to do this stuff, and it's, you know, it was ridiculous.
Okay. She has loose stones right now, which is what I just showed you.
And they would have been fixed. The third time I went to go back, they weren't home. They had texted me they were going out.
Yeah, they told
out.
You repeatedly, though, to make an appointment. So why won't you just make an appointment?
I made an appointment for that Sunday morning, and I went there. Nobody was there.
On a Sunday morning, you made an appointment.
Can I
see the text or some proof that you made an appointment on a Sunday morning?
I actually have a text to prove that's not true. To prove that's not true.
Show me your text. Show me yours. She actually does have proof that you did the opposite of what you say you did. On April 19th at 8:58, you say, let's see, on April 18th, I parked my truck at a job at 6:30 this morning and never could get away. Sorry, I am tired. I will stop by tomorrow morning. That's on April 18th. She says, okay, we'll see you in the morning. Then at 8:58, she texts you and says, we have a bunch of stuff to do today. What time do you think you'll be here? You do not answer her. And at 11:17, you say, I just stopped by and I saw one or two stones, blah, blah, blah. Deep freeze, thawing, blah, blah, blah. So you didn't. She says, you've got to be kidding me. I asked you at least 30 times to come here and tell us so we could be here. I don't blame her. I'm frustrated.
Would you?
All right. Now, we're done. I'm ordering the defendant to pay the plaintiff the sum of $1,800 for her to be able to do the repairs through a different company. She's been patient enough. Good luck.
You know, the construction guy's out here, and step right over here next to me here and faces this way and tell me, well, what's your reaction here to getting sent out of the courtroom on the losing end here?
I think she sided with her because she's a woman. I don't think she knows what she's talking about.
Okay, you can just head right out.
Thank you.
Great job.
I don't want to your right. You're right.
Okay. So you didn't get everything you sued for, but what did you get?
Well, I think that, you know, it showed that he does shoddy work, and unfortunately it's people like him that give contractors a bad name. We tried to be reasonable. You know, we took the low end of the estimates. We tried to work with him, and as you could see, he has quite an ego.
All right, Harvey.
Real quickly, Kurt, when you have a dispute with a contractor, document the conversations with emails and texts. That will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the plaintiff, Ja'Cory Smith. She says she paid the defendant, her boyfriend's aunt, for car insurance on her policy, and the sneaky woman took her off the policy after she had a fight with her nephew. The defendant is a despicable person who caused her all sorts of problems when she got pulled over by state troopers. She owes her $1,660.87, and that's just what she's suing for today. This is the defendant, Tangie Noble. She says she did agree to add the plaintiff to her car insurance, but the woman never took the car out of her name to re-register it. She got fed up with the lackadaisical plaintiff and took her off her policy before she got into trouble. Owe her money? For what? She's accused of being petty. The defendant has filed a countersuit for $200 for false impersonation.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case in the docket, the plaintiff paid the defendant for car insurance. Defendant took her off the policy and it became a mess, but the defendant says the plaintiff is as sketchy as they come. It's the case of unlike a good neighbor.
Thank you, Douglas. Okay, Jacory Smith, you are suing, how do I pronounce your name?
Tangie
Noble for $1,660.87 that you say you are damaged as a result of her maliciously canceling insurance on you. All right, now, Ms. Noble is the aunt of your boyfriend.
That's correct.
All right, tell me what happened.
I'm suing Ms. Noble for breach of contract. Back in November 2014, she had added me to her auto insurance policy.
And why did she do that?
Well, I was getting ready to have a baby in February, so it'll be much cheaper for me.
Okay, that's not a reason why it'll be cheaper because you're having a baby.
What
is the reason that it would be cheaper to put?
Because it'll be my car on the policy as well as hers, so we'll get like a
double discount. And you were putting your car that is registered in your name, okay, on her policy. And were you being listed as a driver?
Yeah, I was supposed to.
You were supposed to be listed as a driver.
Right.
Okay, and what happened?
Well, she and I have verbally agreed that I would pay my half and she would pay hers. On November 15th.
And she's doing this for you to help you out?
Yeah. It was to help me out, yeah.
Okay.
And it will also be helping her out because she would be getting a discount.
Right, she'd pay less for her car too. Right.
So on November 15th, I had paid $133.22.
Okay, there's no dispute about that, right? She paid $133.22 on that. Okay, and?
Okay, on November... I'm sorry. That was my first payment.
Your second payment was on December 8th for $83.65. Is that correct?
Okay.
Does that sound good? All right. Mm-hmm. And then so there's no dispute about that. And then what happens?
Well, I thought that everything was fine. I had made my payment. I had made my first payment. I had made my second payment. I wasn't due again to pay until February. So on December 20th, I'm heading to the mall to do my last minute Christmas shopping. I get pulled over by a state trooper and he informed me that I'm driving an uninsured motor vehicle and that's a $300 ticket. I said, I'm not sure how that's possible because I just paid. I just paid my insurance. I hand him my insurance cards. He still issues me the ticket. I call Ms. Noble and I say, hey, I get pulled over by a state trooper and they inform me that I don't have any insurance. What's going on? She swears that I do have insurance. I believed her because I had just
Why
made
would you believe her? Why wouldn't you worry that something had gone wrong if the trooper says that you're not insured?
I'm thinking that maybe it was an issue on the state trooper's end.
Right, but weren't you worried maybe you'd been canceled and she didn't know?
No, I didn't think
that. That didn't occur to you till when? What happened?
That didn't occur to me until I called New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, I needed a jump start for my car. I said, hey, call roadside assistance.
You had insurance roadside assistance.
Right, I had insurance through roadside assistance.
Okay, so you call them and they say?
They say, your car is no longer on the policy.
Okay, now are you suspicious?
No.
You're still not suspicious? Okay, listen, if you're bringing a baby into this world, you gotta wisen up a little bit.
I know.
So yeah. When do you find out there's something to worry about?
I find out there's something to worry about when...
Do you tell your boyfriend that this is going on?
I actually do tell him that.
Do you tell him on the day you get the ticket, do you tell him the trooper told me that I had no insurance?
No.
Do you talk to him?
Yes. Every day.
Do you live together?
Yeah.
How does this not come up?
It was just something
then when
that,
you can't get a tow and you're saying, well, darn, now that's two people telling me I don't have insurance. Did you talk to him then?
That's what made me talk to him. Yeah.
Okay, and when you tell him that, what does he tell you?
He says, well, me and, you know, Aunt Angie, we had just gotten into it a couple weeks ago. And she said that, you know, she asked to borrow some money. I told her no. So she got upset and said, well, you know, I can help everybody else out, but nobody can help me out. I'm just going to go ahead on and I'm going to take her off my policy. He says, wait, that doesn't have anything. That's your agreement with Corey. Why would you take her off the policy?
Because and your husband, your boyfriend never told you that?
He never told me that because I guess she said she
apparently
was
he doesn't talk to you either. You don't talk to him and he doesn't talk to you. How does this not come up?
Figured what happened? Was a threat.
Did you have a fight with the nephew?
Not really. What happened was I believe I gave her ample more time to not only have the insurance in my name, but the registration and the tags.
Why did the wait a minute, hold on. Did you cancel her?
Yes, I did.
When did you cancel her?
I canceled her the 26th of December.
Oh, you cold-hearted woman,
December 26th.
Why would you cancel? You had your baby when?
February 13th.
Okay, so you canceled an 8-month pregnant woman the day after Christmas. And why did you do that?
Because I said to myself, she has her priorities messed up, that she should have met me at DMV when I was at DMV, but it closed early, so we're supposed to do it that Monday. So she always telling me she's going to do something and never follow through with it. So she never met me that Monday to change everything over, so I took her off my policy.
Did you tell her you were taking her off your policy?
We're talking about my license, no.
Did you tell her you were taking her off your policy?
No, I didn't.
Well, then, it sounds so spiteful for you to do that it sounds to me like if you're doing it and it's her fault, that you would tell her.
Your Honor, that had nothing to do with it. I did let her know I was taking her off my policy.
Let me just explain something to you.
Yes.
I don't think you did, but I don't care whether you did. My question is, why are you affirmatively taking her off if the insurance company's fine with it and she's paid? If it wasn't, by the way, on December 20th is when she got the ticket.
Exactly.
So you didn't cancel her December 26th. When
I
did the insurance?
The
did you ever find out when the insurance company canceled?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you did.
Yes,
oh,
I did.
You do that?
Because I did some after I left her house after the big blow up. I left her house and I said, you know, the insurance guy. They
I'm
told
looking
me
at
that
the counterclaim $200 for falsely impersonating me with the insurance company. Did you call the insurance company and say you were her?
Yes.
Yes, with her permission.
Yeah,
you don't need to have her permission.
Don't lie. Now I don't like
you're
you.
Lying.
Now I think
no,
you're lying.
No, she had given
you permission.
Personal.
She's mad at your nephew. That's why she canceled you. She's not giving you any permission. Just tell me what happened when you called the insurance. Stop.
So if somebody takes you off the policy, they don't tell you, and you get in a car accident, who's going to answer this? Are they responsible?
I believe the insurance policy holder will be responsible if they don't give any notice to the insured, because the insured has an expectation to believe that they are protected by the insurance policy.
Fair enough. I kind of agree with you. Going inside the courtroom.
I called the insurance company and I spoke to roadside assistance, and they said that, you know, the car had been taken off and my car was no longer on the policy. They said, but I'm not sure what's going on. We're going to transfer you over to the representative. I spoke to the representative about what's going on with the policy, and that's when they let me know that, yes, your car had been taken off and it's been replaced with a Toyota Camry. I know exactly who the Toyota Camry belonged to, so I went up the street after the big blow up.
Wait. It was replaced?
It was replaced.
Replaced?
My paid spot was replaced. When I called, and they said your Mercury Sable had been taken off. It's been removed ever since December 8th.
Did they tell you do you have any evidence of when it, do you have evidence from them of when it was removed or no? You just
verbally. I took a picture of the insurance card of the Toyota Camry. I have a picture of.
How do you have that?
Because I know the girl, her neighbors.
Okay, cough it up. I know it's not gonna be good, just say it.
No.
Don't try to make it better. Just say it.
Her neighbors, we all know each other, but her neighbors that live up the street from her, she took my car off of the policy and put the other girl's car on the policy in exchange for drugs. That's what she told me.
Hmm. Oh, that's what she told me.
Whose car went on it?
The Toyota Camry.
So the Toyota belongs to another neighbor, neighbor told you that?
Yes. And I took a picture of the insurance card.
Of the neighbor.
Of the neighbor.
Let me see it.
Okay.
And it starts when? December 8th?
Yes, I believe it does start December 8th.
Okay. Show me proof that the DMV is charging you $50 for a lapse in insurance.
It's actually circled on.
Okay. And show me the picture of the card.
Okay.
Where's your boyfriend?
He's
He's what?
He's home.
What's he doing home? Why didn't he come?
Well,
he had to fight with her. Why didn't he come? Why did he leave you here to argue all this alone?
I'm not really sure. I guess because that's his aunt. And he
so
feels
what?
Like, that's what I said, too. What's right is right, you know. And then when he actually came over to her, when we went over to her house.
When did you go over to her house? On New Year's Eve?
No, this was like a few days. I think it was... That's in the phone also. We have text messages. Me and her went back and forth, and I said, you know, I'm not going to argue with you over via text message. I'm going to come see you, and we'll discuss this then.
The effective date of the other insurance is December 5th, not December 8th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's worse. You know what? We're done. I find in favor of the plaintiff in this case. There's 15 days in November and 5 days in December that you actually had insurance coverage, technically. So if something had happened, you would have been covered. So I'm deducting that part.
Okay.
All right, so I am going to order her to repay you the $163.90 of unearned premium. In other words, for insurance that you paid for that you didn't get. That's the calculation on that. But you also got a $300 ticket, which it turns out you didn't have insurance at the time. So you're going to end up having to pay that ticket. So I'm also going to order her to pay the ticket and the $50 reinstatement fee. Because I don't believe she gave you any notice. I think this did have to do with a fight. And so you wanted to put this next person on, and that's how you ended up doing it. Okay, but now it's gonna cost you. I'm ordering you to return $300 plus the $163.90 of unearned premium plus the $50 reinstatement fee, because that's the damages to her for everything that happened, and that means a net judgment in favor of the plaintiff in the amount of $513.90 on your counterclaim against her for falsely impersonating you. I don't see how that would damage you to the tune of $200. Clearly, if she felt the need to do that, you weren't informing her of anything. So you can't have it both ways. You can't tell me, I did tell her, and then say, and then she impersonated me to find out the truth. That's not how it works. Verdict for the plaintiff. Good luck.
All right, so you did what you did. You took her off, you put the other one on, and it cost you.
I'm okay with it, though.
Yeah.
Paid no attention.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we're talking about my license here. You know, you're not going to ride around in New York State with insurance in my name. I don't know what the tags and the registration go to.
Don't you feel like you had an obligation to tell her when you took her name?
I did tell her. She knew.
What's going on in the family? Come on, this is family.
I don't know. My sister told me not to do it from the get-go, and I never should have did it. Mm. And that's why we're here now.
Yeah. All right. Around this way, okay?
Okay.
All right, so come on in here. What do you think of this?
I'm very satisfied.
Yeah.
I'm very satisfied. What's I'm happy. On? I can put this behind me. I can get paid. I can get all this cleared up with the DMV, hopefully.
The family? What's going on?
Well, she's not my family, but she's...
His.
She is family. I guess she is family. Yeah. That's my kid's aunt. So, you know, I feel bad that it had to come to this, but I don't feel bad about the measures that I took in order to get paid.
You and the boyfriend going to communicate a little bit
Absolutely.
Better from now on?
Absolutely.
Talk about things other than
talk
the
about
baby?
Everything.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good luck with
all right. Thank you so much.
Bobby.
Okay, Kurt, this is all about reliance. If you are on somebody's policy, you have a right to rely that you're insured. And if they decide to take you off, they better tell you. And if they don't, and you get in an accident, they are going to be on the hook.